the Taney County Planning and Zoning Commission's Board of Adjustments. And Mr. Coxey, would you give us a roll call?
Dave Clemenson.
Present.
Tom Gideon.
Present.
Bob Hanslin.
Present.
Jack Johnston.
Present.
David Nelson.
Present.
Mr. Chairman, we do have a quorum.
All right. And would you give us the explanation of the hearing procedures for tonight?
This is the Taney County Planning Commission Board of Adjustment hearing procedures. Today's Board of Adjustment meeting is held to hear variance requests and appeals on decisions made by the Taney County Planning Commission. The Board of Adjustment meeting is governed by the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Public hearings are held on each request or appeal which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission. I would like at this time to place the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A, the staff report for each case as Exhibit B, the staff file including all pertinent information for each case as Exhibit C, and the Board of Adjustment bylaws as Exhibit D for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the board, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment, you must sign the sheet, which is provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it's your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the board. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the board and not to anyone in the audience. All speakers who are not a party to the case shall be limited to 5 minutes, unless additional time is granted by the chairperson. Anyone who wishes to speak either for or against any case to be heard today must be sworn in.
All right, thank you. And Bob, would you give us the governing statutes?
The Board of Adjustments shall have the following powers, and it shall be its duty. One, to hear and decide appeals where it is alleged there is an error of law in any order, requirement, decision, or determination made by an administrative official in the enforcement of the county zoning regulations. Two, to hear and decide all matters referred to it or which it is required to determine under the zoning regulations adopted by the county commission as herein provided. Three, where by reason of exceptional narrowness, shallowness, shape or topography, or other extraordinary or exceptional situation or condition of a specific piece of property, the strict application of any regulation adopted under sections 64.845 to 64.880 would result in peculiar and exceptional difficulties to or exceptional and demonstrable undue hardship upon the owner of the property, as an unreasonable deprivation of use is distinguished from the mere grant of a privilege, to authorize, upon an appeal relating to the property, a variance from the strict application so as to relieve the demonstrable difficulties or hardships, provided the relief can be granted without substantial detriment to the public good and without substantially impairing the intent, purpose, and integrity of the zone plan as embodied in the zoning regulations and map. In exercising the above powers, the board may reverse or affirm wholly or partly, or may modify the order, requirement, decision, or determination appealed from, and may take such order, requirement, decision, or determination as ought to be made, and to that end shall have all the powers of the officer from whom the appeal is taken.
Thank you very much. At this time, we have two cases on the docket tonight, and both are appeals rather than variance requests. We'd like to remind everybody to be sure that the cell phones are turned off or at least on vibrate so that we aren't interrupted in these proceedings. Daniel and Tammy Warner appealing a denial from the P&Z Commission. Staff report, please, Mr. Coxey.
This is the Taney County Board of Adjustment staff report for Daniel and Tammy Warner, dated November 17, 2010, case number 10-5. This is the public hearing for an appeal of the Brass Lantern Resort request in the Cedar Creek Township, Section 25, Township 22, Range 20. The applicants, Daniel and Tammy Warner, are requesting an appeal of the Taney County Planning Commission decision to deny a replat. History is that it was denied by the Planning Commission on October 18, 2010. The denial was based upon the density of the new development and the incompatibility of the surrounding area. General description, the subject property is located at 5133 Brass Lantern Road. The adjoining properties to the request consist of residential. Review, the applicants maintain that in denying the request, the Planning Commission committed an error of law. Summary, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this appeal, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. Permit number 21-division 3, will be issued. All provisions of the original decision of record would be adhered to. All other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code would be met, and the decision of record would be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. Let's go ahead and Dan, we'll look at the pictures and the video, and then I'll come back and read this. This is where the Brass Lantern Inn is located. This is the Johnny B. Jones subdivision, and this is lot 14 of the Johnny B. Jones subdivision, and I'll catch you up as to when that came into play and everything like that. So let's go out just a little bit. This tract of land is 2.86 acres. Currently has the Brass Lantern Resort on it, has a single-family house down in this area with, you know, with its garage. It has a pavilion that's just a small concrete slab with you know, four posts and the roof on it, just kind of an open-air type pavilion there. As you can see, this road does split this 2.86 acres now. If you'll remember back a few months ago, you saw this property, if you can remember. It's kind of a similar request, but a little bit different. It dealt with the septic systems and stuff that were out there at the time. This whole area is currently on a septic system. So, come on out. That's just another view of the. Is this the only two we have?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. This is the subdivision that's around, kind of what's going on there. Now, do you have this diagram shows in red, of course, the cabins that they would propose to add, not necessarily go in and knock them all down, but they would build them one at a time as they went along and everything like that. What you're going to see here is this 2.86 acres. The proposal is to split it into a total of six lots. Lots 1, 2, 3, and possibly 4, and I'll read you this in just a minute, are set up so that they can be used for single-family residential structures. Definitely lots 1, 2, and 3 to be sold off to an individual who would then build the homes out there as single-family residential homes, but they requested the right to allow these basically to be, if they would choose vacation-type homes and then to be placed into the nightly rental program with the resulting resort as it would come down. So lots 1, 2, 3, and 4. Lot 5 is the lot set aside for the new treatment plant that would have to go in order to do this. And then lot 6 is the lot where basically the resulting Brass Lantern Inn would go in, and I suppose if they would choose to do so, they could sell these off to whole ownership, but at current time they can run. So what you see under here is the existing cabins, one there, these two almost joined, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there's one more, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, there's six of them out there, and then the single family residential home, but I think that was the garage. So, and then what would happen here with the single family home, this will become a pool area, and underneath this pool area would be like a laundry in that particular building. So, and then this area here becomes lot 6 out of the 6. So, go ahead. What else do you have there, Dan? Okay. And this is just kind of a better picture with the other stuff removed out, kind of the upper part of this, and then the lower part here. And we have
that's
video.
Video.
Let's try and see a video.
That's a video.
No, that is a video.
Don't need that one.
Return the voice.
Let's turn that off, because you don't want to hear what's on there. And this is one of the cabins that are out there. These cabins, I believe, have been there since like 1953. At least they've been on the tax roll since 1953. So we're just going to kind of drive you through to get a look at it. We are on the road that was at the top of that, with lot one being to our left over here. And then this would be the area where lots two and three would go. And this is the pavilion that I mentioned to you. When we get to the end here, we're going to swing around. We're going to show you the other side of the road where actually lot one would be. And there's, it's not really the subdivision as anything. So just kind of bear with us. I know there's been times here when we haven't, we've tried to show you videos and you didn't get much, or they didn't work, or whatever the case might be. But so we want to turn around and come back the other way. I did do that, didn't I? Turn around and come back
yes.
the other way. I thought it was good. Yep, here we go. And this is, I think we're going to get a shot of a steak for you here. Yeah, I think we're going to stop here. This is the area where lot one is going to be down through here.
There it is.
There's the edge steak right there. There's a lot of Tama County that looks kind of like this. And then we're going to come back around. This will bring us back out to the front where the road comes in, right here. So this is the road coming down, and then this is the road that goes down to the boat dock here. But basically, we turn back around, and this is the kind of cabins. Now, we're actually on the road. It'd be more like a driveway that goes into these cabins, because we wanted to bring you by and let you see the cabins. This is the single-family home that's down there that we mentioned earlier. And we're gonna come around to the back here. And these are pretty small cabins right now. This was, I think, probably originally just a rustic-type fishing camp, something to that effect. But, but we do want to bring around here and down. I think we did. Did we go down to the, we went down to the house, didn't we? So that's this is kind of a double cabin here, 5 and 6. And this could have and that's as far as we're going to go, Dan, unless they want to watch us turn around again. I think they're probably tired of that driving. So, let me read you just kind of to summarize what I told you here during this video. The Brassland Resort currently occupies lot 14 of the Johnny B. Jones subdivision, and the structures show to be on the tax rolls since 1953. The current site is 2.86 acres with 6 cabins or rental units, a single-family home, and an open-air pavilion. All of these are on septic systems. The request presented to the Planning Commission was to divide lot 14 into a total of 6 lots as follows. Lots 1, 2, and 3, and possibly 4, would be sold to individuals for the construction of single-family homes, with the right to place these units in the nightly rental program to be run by the resulting Brasslander Inn. These lots comprise these 4 lots, 67,560 square feet of the original 124,582 square feet, or 54.23% of the original 2.86 acres. Lot 5 will be the lot designed for the sewage treatment plant and is 15,000 square feet, or 12.04% of the original 2.86 acres. Lot 6 will be the resulting Brass Landing Resort, which is 42,022 square feet, or 33.73% of the original 2.86 acres. The proposal is for the resulting resort to have 8 cabins and a building to house a laundry with a pool above the laundry room. This is an increase of density from 7 units on 2.86 acres, or 2.5 units per acre, to 8 units on 0.9646 acres, or almost 9 units an acre. Many times Taney County Resort has existed in a neighborhood's grown up around the resort, and we've seen over the past years that resorts have needed to make changes to stay viable in the changing market. And as Taney County has dealt with these types of resorts in the past, they generally have allowed the resorts to build somewhat larger structures. They allow for the change in ownership into like whole ownership condominiums. They let the resort retain its nightly rental programs because that's what it was used for in the past. Generally, the approvals, not always, but generally, the approvals have been restricted, redesigning and redeveloping of these resorts to the same amount of units and the same size of ground, thus, in theory, not changing the makeup of the neighborhood as far as additional buildings or amount of potential guests. This proposed project is both an increase in number of units and a reduction in the area that was deemed to have greater impact on the neighborhood surrounding the current resort and was deemed less compatible for that reason. The motion was made to deny based on increased density and change in compatibility. With 8 of the 9 board members present, the vote was 4 in favor of the motion to deny, 2 against the motion, one abstention, and the chairman did not vote. The process that we followed, the application was filed 8/29/2010. The pre-application was held on 9/2 of 2010. The concept hearing was held 9/20 of 2010. At the concept hearing, 8 of our 9 board members were present. The public hearing was held 10/12 of 2010 with 7 of our 9 members present. And the regular meeting where they did the voting, 8 of the 9 members were present. The project received a minus 55 out of a possible 103 on the relative policy scoring form with the negative issues as follows. Right-of-ways, emergency water supply, stormwater drainage, use compatibility, utilities, pedestrian circulation, emergency services, landscape buffering, residential privacy, and traffic. And so that about summarizes for you, gentlemen. Unless you have any questions for me, I'd be glad to.
Well, I think it's pretty clear the subdivision of Johnny B. Jones on the screen was behind where the acreage was. We saw some homes up on the ridgetop.
Yeah, Dan, come on back real quick.
Those are the homes back on the upper side of the subdivision.
Let me get you over here real quick so we...
There we go. Oh,
no, that's
not
it.
There you
yeah.
That's all right. I assume it.
There you go. Turn back. As we drove down the road, you saw, I believe, this house here, and then we turned around, and then these, you saw these homes up on the ridge, yes, sir. There are homes down in here and down in here, and I believe the subdivision is basically this area in here. And that was one of the reasons that this had to come before the board, because our code book states that anytime you increase the density in a platted subdivision, it has to go before a planning board. And everything. So,
and show us the Corps of Engineers property in relation to
come
the property.
Come on back, Dan.
If you're pretty to the west.
Corps of Engineers would be here. This down in here. And the lake is, right there. As a matter of fact, this is the road that goes down to the boat dock here.
So the lake line starts up at the top of the road.
Right here. Matter of fact, there was, at one time, there was a deck encroaching across here, and they have removed that so that encroachment's not there.
But on the upper side there.
Here, normally you're going to see the core.
No, right at the junction of Brass Lantern. Is that the core line going west?
Here.
All that's USA?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That's all I wanted.
Everybody down here, is it a public septic system or is it a...
Every one of these are individual septics. And like I say, you know, these cabins have been here since 1953. And as far as what kind of septic system or if it's, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I think there's 3 on this property, 3 different septic systems, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Thank you. Would those that are signed up to speak tonight please stand? I'll swear you in. Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Mr. Wolf, I presume you represent the Warners, or are they present?
Mr. Chairman, the Warners are not present. I'm here to represent them.
All right.
And I think I'm first on the list there. I think it might save the board a little time if I could just go to the end and address everything, or
sure.
I could start now, whichever way you want to do it.
You're the floor.
Okay. Well, I would just soon wait till the end if that's fine.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
That would be fine. Then Ken Baltz. And Ken, would you state your name and spell it?
My name is Ken Baltz. The last name is B-A-L-T-Z.
Thank you.
I live at 4929 Brash Lennon Road. I'm here to respectfully ask the board to uphold the decision of planning and zoning and the proposed replat of the Brash Lennon property. The proposed sale of lots 1, 2, and 3 contain just over 32,000 square feet, and that amounts to about 27% of the property. The remaining property does not seem adequate for everything they're proposing here, treatment plant, swimming pool, and 8 more buildings. The proposed layout will also make it very difficult for anyone pulling a boat to access the property. There's no place for them to turn around. There's no place shown for an emergency vehicle to turn around on that road that's in there. All these buildings clustered into less than an acre. The entire Johnny B. Jones subdivision has one way in and one way out. That's a one-lane road that runs in front of my house, only 35 feet from my front door. The increase in traffic in the last year has been upsetting, both for its increased volume and the total disregard for the posted speed limits. This is a safety issue as well as a huge change to the serenity we have enjoyed. During the summer of 2009, we had guests at our home from the Branson area. They had fished on Table Rock Lake but had not seen Bull Shoals before. After taking a boat ride and seeing about 8 miles of the lake in this area, the man turned to me and said, "I haven't seen anything like this since I went fishing in Canada." When I asked him what he meant, he said, "All these beautiful hills and no houses." This is what we think should be passed on to future generations, not this development. This proposal will put 7 buildings in an area of less than 1 acre. The property now is just under 3 acres, contains 5 cabins and 1 house. This change in density does not fit in our area, and I ask that the decision of planning and zoning be upheld. Incidentally, in searching for the 6th cabin, when you were looking on there before, the reason you couldn't find it is because cabins 5 and 6 are one building. When the Warners moved into that building about 7 months ago, they made it just one cabin. So in effect now there are 5 cabins there, but not 6. So I thank you for your time.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Bolts? Thank you very much. Jenny Bolts? Name spelled the same way?
Yes.
All right.
Okay, my name's Jenny Baltz. My husband Ken and I live at 4929 Brass Lantern Road. This is our permanent home. We retired here in 1999. I'm sorry. My husband has been coming down to Cedar Creek for over 30 years. We are active in Cedar Creek with the volunteer fire department. We are active in our church, and I serve as an election judge for Taney County. As full-time residents to this area, we keep an eye on the rest of the part-time homes, and we keep the lawns mowed to give the appearance of being lived in for those who are unable to come down regularly. We are here to ask you, the board, to uphold the decision of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Brass Lantern Road is one-lane, county-maintained road in front of our home, and it is our only way in and only way out for everyone in the subdivision. We have indentures that for the Brass Lantern subdivision, it's also known as Johnny B. Jones subdivision. These indentures cover lots 1 through 13. The Brass Lantern Resort is lot 14. Because of its commercial status, it was not included in the indentures. These indentures do not allow for farm animals to be kept. In the advertising for Brass Lantern Resort, there are items that do not fit in our area. Horseback riding and ATV riding are just two examples. The ATV riding is done on the county road, unlicensed and without helmets. Is it fair that horseback riding is to go on through our subdivision, but yet we're not allowed to keep horses? The advertising for the resort seems to have combined both the air park, which you're all familiar with, and the resort. Is this another way they have of getting around the rules and regulations? We all purchased our properties for the remote, serene wilderness areas it is now. We have retired here permanently. This proposed project will destroy all of this. We have two neighbors who both spoke at the planning and zoning meeting who are unable to be here tonight. They are second-generation property owners. They plan to pass it on to their children also. We have all lived harmoniously with the Brass Lantern Resort for many years. My husband and others have helped the previous owners with repairs to their cabins and their dock. With this proposed project, our quaint, relaxing, peaceful area will be gone, along with many trees that will be lost and wildlife that will move on. Several of our neighboring property owners have sent letters in to the Planning and Zoning Commission. They should be in the file. I hope that you've had a chance to read them. Several have also sent letters to you, the Board of Adjustment, before this meeting. Everyone is very much opposed to this development being allowed to happen. They don't live close enough to drive here for the meeting. We have to drive past a huge eyesore that exists thanks to the Warners. It's called the Air Park. It was once a beautiful area. Now we have a huge dirt pile to look at. If past history dictates anything, we will see another raping of the once beautiful Missouri Ozarks. And I have the two emails from the other two that were unable to come. If I could read those. They're short.
Make it so, but we only have 5 minutes before you.
Okay. This is from the Browns, and you saw part of their house on the drive. Since the decision is being appealed in the November 15th meeting from the October 18th denial of the plant rezoning of Brass Lantern, the purpose of this letter is to request that this decision not be overturned. The commission denied this request on the basis of incompatibility and density, and these factors persist in the plan to amend this property. Our original letter contains reasons for our opposition is enclosed, and we would like to further reiterate those points of disapproval of this plan to rezone this property. Our small, rustic community could not harmoniously mesh with such an extensive change. The increase in traffic and noise with the proposed amendments to the property would ruin our natural setting and destroy our sense of peace and tranquility.
We do have a copy of the letter.
Okay. Do you have a copy of the one from Mr. Michael Will? He is two doors down from the resort.
Not to my knowledge.
He's at 310 Brass Lantern Circle.
Is it of similar nature and content?
No, he makes other statements. He asks that you be careful to maintain the natural beauty of the resort. I can't pull things out of it, and it's three paragraphs, short paragraphs. Could I continue, please?
Okay.
Michael Will is the name. He's at 310 Brass Lantern Circle. He said, "We are deeply saddened by the sale of the resort, as we felt that Mr. Jim Patterson maintained a competent and quiet vacation resort for people from all over the United States. He was careful to maintain the natural beauty of the resort and was helpful in all community matters regarding the community well and other issues. We will miss him. Firstly, the Warners are another story. Since they have moved into Brass Lantern Resort, it has been a series of noise and disruption. From the large parrot to the dogs, it has been a continual symphony of odd and irritating noises. Secondly, this area is a pristine forest area that has been carefully created to give vacationers a clear picture of the true beauty of Missouri Mountains at the shore of one of the finest lakes in North America, Bull Shoals. We believe the Warners have every intent to destroy the natural beauty and create an architectural and ecological disaster that will dwarf the tragedy they created at the Someday property in Taney County. Taney County's gift to the world are our native forests, rivers, and lakes. There are few places left that are as natural and pristine as this area. We implore you, for the good of all Taney County, as well as the thousands of vacationers to Brass Lantern over the past 50 years, deny the Warner's replat request and save the Brass Lantern for all the people of the United States and Brass Lantern Circle residents. Continue your leadership to establish that Taney County is a county that cares about the natural beauty of Missouri first. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. Cindy Hosford.
She did a mechanism.
What did she say?
Richard Umbarger.
I'm Richard Umbarger, and our home is that one in the southwest corner, in the southeast corner that you see there at the very bottom. That one right there.
Record,
pardon me?
Spell your last name for the record.
Umbarger.
Thank you.
Anyway, I come here tonight to appeal to this commission to not allow this development to take place. Our home has been in our family for 44 years. It was built by Carl Dornbos, the gentleman that built the resort. Somebody worked hard doing that audio thing that you had here. Worked hard to do that. It was very nice. It was a little distorted. The cabins were all stuck up like this and looked smaller than they are. It's a really pleasant resort that they have down there. Carl built that, and it has cedar floors. He hand-built that thing out of cedar floors off the property. It's just really nice, and it has a certain atmosphere that really appeals to people. Like I say, it's been in our family for 44 years. We want to pass it down to our children. And what we're wanting to pass down to our children is that ambiance of some seclusion, yet some community spirit, and the deer and the forest and the lakes, the fishing. And we're quite concerned about this development that they want to do, where they're going to turn it into more of a commercial enterprise with a higher density. To put all those cabins or houses or whatever they want to build there, it's going to require cutting down more of the trees. That won't be an asset. Another thing that's, they want to change some of the roads or whatever a little bit, but one thing that's very concerning to me, and I think other people down there, is we've all witnessed and experienced this development before. I'm sure these people are well-meaning, the Warners, and I'm sure they're trying to do a good job. That we used to love that drive in there and into our home, and now when we come through, every day is that mountain of dirt that'll be nothing but a weed pile, and that airstrip that goes like that. I flew one time, a lifetime ago. You can't land anything on this thing they've got down there. I would rather see them take the resources they want to do here and go finish that project. Put that dirt pile back in the hole and finish that project rather than start another one and basically desecrate the land. I don't know of anybody down there that's happy to see this environment change into a possibly an unfinished project, possibly. I don't know what, but we would like to keep what we have down there. It's a beautiful resort. If you go to other resorts along the lake, you'll see some that are more run down than others, less community spirit than others and whatever. But if you actually walk through this area, it's a beautiful little subdivision. It's been there for a long time. The people are happy with what they have. And I just hate to see them, anybody, come in there and change it to a high density, whatever, like they do on Table Rock and places like that. But my absolute biggest concern is it appears the developer has failed. I don't know the details of their deal, but failed to some extent to finish the one in any satisfactory manner at all. and I hate to see them come and practice that game here. Again, I would appreciate any vote that you might have to reject this change. Thank you.
I have a question, Mr. Dunbarger. Do you use the road that makes the circle to come back to the resort and go back out on the west side, or you just use the upper road into your property?
Well, when you say through the resort, I guess that that's woods north of that resort, of that road right there. That corner is all woods.
Right.
But, yes, we come down that road, and then see where it says Brass Lantern? On that, mm-hmm. Yeah, right. We go through there, and we come over and hang a right on right there, and we come over to this right there. That's our home.
All right. Thank you for clarifying that.
Well, we also, at times, go the other way.
All right.
But it's more difficult to go that way. And the
lady... Just want to point out the fact that that is a public road.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wolf, you're the first one and the last one.
Okay. My name's Eddie Wolf, here to represent the Warners. In the discussion here tonight on this, on the appeal, I'm going to refer back to planning and zoning on some things that happened in the meeting. I'm not picking on anybody personal. It's just things that I think I need to address there and don't want to hurt nobody's feelings or whatever. It's just part of the business of this. And I appreciate that, you know, where you don't hold anything against me for, and I'm not going to call out no names, period. So, anyhow, can we go to the layout, Dan, of the project?
Just a second, Eddie. Pop back.
In the, when they turned down the project, it was compatibility and density that they pointed out as reasons that they didn't want the project to happen. In the Tandy County Code Book, and there, it requires, like, these residential lots here, this lot, that lot, to be 8,000 square foot with 70-foot frontage. They all meet that criteria. So everything is per code there. This lot here is also per code there. In the Code Book, to do this density in here, it requires a septic system, I mean, a treatment plant area to be placed in there. And that is located right there, which meets that requirement. Then to satisfy DNR, which the plant will have to be approved by DNR, and any feeder lines to any of these structures would have to be approved as trunk lines. And they would be inspected, governed by them. The engineer has to sign off on them. They're put in correctly and everything before that would allow usage of this particular plant here. There's a well constructed here for DNR with this density. We need to drill a bigger well and not use the old well that's there. It had to be storage put there for the development that's proposed. And that would satisfy DNR's requirements. On this end here, where we're talking about the new buildings in here going there and this one down here, in the Tandy County Code Book, the only way that you can sell these units off is as a condominium development. There's no other recourse in the book to allow that to be done. So that's why we're calling these condominiums in there, and then there's not actually a condominium guideline in the code book. It was taken out back several years ago. So the policy that Tandy County has had with condominiums, you can put as many per acre as you want to, as long as you can provide two parking spots per each unit of a two-bedroom or single-bedroom unit, which this here totally meets everything in the code book. And by turning this project down, that's an error of law because it meets the total deal. As far as density in here, you've got the existing cabins in here. And then you've got this parcel here across the road that is sitting there by itself just due to the fact that the parcel separated by the public road already creates a unit over there. So when you take that in consideration of the whole project, we're looking at three units that we had increased in there totally. Because this unit here was a double unit. It may be used right now as a single. I haven't been down there to look at it to tell you if it has. But I know this was a double unit, and from what I've been told is that it could be used as a double unit again. So you take all those in consideration. With this one up here, even though being out there like that, there's only an increase of three units on the total property. And as far as concerns of traffic in there, I don't think that three units in there increased in density is going to cause a hazard on that road. Because there's anybody that goes down here and stays at this resort is not going to drive out of there two or three times a day out of Cedar Creek to go to the grocery store. They're going to come prepared and be there. And because it's long ways to a good facility to shop and everything. As far as what I'm hearing from the public and everything, they like everything to stay exactly the way it is. And if I lived there, I might have the same opinion too. But the resort is very old. The cabins are very old. And all the Warners are wanting to do is to take one cabin down at a time, replace it with a new one, and get that one built. Then, as the money would allow them, they would build another cabin, take one down, and that sort of nature. They're not wanting to go in there and, you know, completely just destroy the area. And everybody's taking the other project up there, which is Air Park, and they were not following the code on that. There was a lot of problems. And at this present time, we're working with Eddie Cotsey and everything. That project there that they keep referring to is completely within the Tannehill County Guideline Code. And there is nothing in violation at this point that I'm aware of, and I think Eddie will say that, on the other project. The code was completely followed. If because there's a dirt pile there, the code book says doesn't say that you can't have a dirt pile. You know, and we're talking about completely following the code here and turning this project down. That should be an error of law because it meets everything in the code book. And to get back to the meeting on this, it was a very long meeting. It lasted, I believe, over an hour. And there was a lot of discussion, and there was a motion made on the floor to approve the project. And the member that did that wanted to put restrictions on this that the code book would not allow. And that question was asked by another board member to Bob Paulson, and he told them that it wasn't allowed in the code book to do what he is proposing, bonding, making them bond all the buildings, the road, the treatment plant, everything up front before they could ever turn a spade of dirt.
The buildings themselves.
Yeah, that he was wanting the bond for the utilities, the buildings, and everything.
Up front, the entire project.
Right, the entire project. And I don't know if you're aware or not, but when a small developer tries to get a bond, it's very, very difficult. In fact, you may not even be able to get one, period. But anyhow, another member brought that question up to Bob, and Bob said that they couldn't do it, and then the other member said, well, I won't vote for the motion if that's the case. So that motion kind of went dead. Well, the member that made that motion stated in, and I quote, I don't have any problem with the project. It's just the past history of the other project. Well, there are two different projects. And then the motion was made to deny, and that's the way it was voted on, and everything there. So the density that they're saying in here, this reason they turned it down, there's an increase to three units. It does not violate the Taney County Code. The code allows for that density there. And we're providing the public utilities there for that. And it's actually a good thing here because these old septic tanks in here are probably barrels, clay pipe, everything with the age of. We're talking about putting a septic plant in, treatment plant in there to take all this sewage down there and treat it correctly instead of letting it run into Bull Shoals Lake like it's doing now down through the ground rock. And all these houses up here above in the subdivision, they're all presently on septic tanks. And I assume that they are all very old systems too, which are probably failing and need to be replaced, but haven't because the water runs between the cracks and the rocks goes away. But, you know, what is really bad about this situation is in the air park there, the Warners were really... they were out of line with the county code. It was starting to get really a bad situation. And Eddie worked with them, and I worked with them. We've got them in compliance with the code. So the code book that told them that they couldn't do what they were doing, they have satisfied completely, and they're in compliance. They come here and do everything per code on this property here, and they're told they can't do it. Even though the book says we can. And that is my argument there, that, you know, the decision was made by an error of law.
I have two things also. Go ahead.
Bob, you have the floor.
All right. You're saying that you're using the condo form of ownership is what you're proposing for those buildings. If those buildings were single-family homes rather than condos, you wouldn't be able to put that many in that small space. That you would agree with that?
I would agree with that, but I also agree that this property is commercial, used as a resort, and we're not changing the use of it one bit. It's still a commercial property.
You are adding units.
We're adding three units in their total. The property is presently commercial property. We are not changing the zoning one little bit. It's still the same usage. The only thing is that people would actually be able to buy these units. It would still be run as a resort. So when they're not vacationing there, they could put them into the resort and rent it just like they are today.
And I haven't looked at the bankruptcy materials, but is this property in the bankruptcy or is it?
I don't know if it is or not. It shouldn't make any difference if it's bankruptcy or not in the decision of the board. I don't think there's anything in the code book that says bankruptcy's got anything to do with it.
Well, I understand nothing in the code, but it may have something to do with whether there's...
At this present time, whether I'm not aware of anything as far as foreclosure, bankruptcy, or anything.
Whether they have control of the property or that
it's
sort of thing.
It's their name. It's titled in their name.
While we're there, I'm really struggling with this map, guys. So I want to walk through this with you, if you don't mind, real quick. Because I've been out here on site several times. And I'm talking units. I don't care about buildings. I'm talking units. One, two, three, four.
screensaver. I'm sorry.
Powerful laser.
Yes, it is.
I thought you were on the other screen.
No, that was right where I needed to be. Okay. Don't move. One, two, three, four, five, six units. Even though this, you might consider that one building or not. I'm talking units, I'm not talking buildings.
And you got the house of seven.
And the house is seven, and there's a garage. Okay, so there's seven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, in the total project, we're talking one, two, three, four, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and then this will take over as 13. So when I add that up, I go from 7 to 13, and that's 6 additional units. Am I adding correctly? That's the way I'm seeing it. That's not what I keep hearing and everything like that.
Well, he's discounting the acreage that's going to be sold off as individual plots. I see where he's coming
from. I understand what you're saying.
And also, I'm counting the one that's isolated up in the corner as being already a parcel by itself.
But right now, it's really not a parcel by itself. It's shown as this. Yes, it is up there. It is split off, and we hate to see that and everything, but it is part of it. So all the statements I've made to you dealt with the fact that I see seven there now. I see if we make all these changes, we go to 13.
And the other thing that we've done in here is talking about the narrow roads. On this here, we'd be actually donating right-of-way to the road.
That is correct.
And I think now it's only, what, a 30-foot road?
I believe that is correct, yes.
And we'd be donating 10-foot on each side so the county road could be maintained in a better order.
And that would be up here. They would have to donate on both
which
sides.
Which is part of the code book.
So I do want to read something because I've heard several statements, not only tonight but at other times, concerning we can put as many condominiums as we want to put on an acre ground. I'm just going to read you out of the code book here. It talks about open space density. It says there's several ways of assessing a development's density or the intensity of land use. A lot size or lot coverage and floor area ratio are the most common. For rural areas where water quality, the scenic beauty that supports tourism, and other environmental concerns are the major planning issues, lot coverage in impervious surface is an excellent measure of land use intensity. It reflects a developer's potential impact on its environment more directly than other land use intensity measures and has the added advantage of applying equally well to all kinds of development, residential, commercial, or industrial. And then it refers you back to the impervious cover table as far as what's allowed. And in this impervious cover table, it takes in two factors. It takes in the kind of slope and the kind of soil. So if you have the best soil and the level land, your total impervious cover, which would be roads, rooftops, that kind of thing like that, sidewalks, whatever the case may be, is 60% of the lot. And then when you get down into, even if you have a 5 to 10% slope and rocky soil, it becomes 45% cover, total cover. It can go down, if you're on a 25% slope, regardless of the kind of soil you've got, it does drop down to 25%. So there are some rules and regulations that,
And Eddie, if there are single-family homes, it'd be the same buildings. It'd be exactly the same thing. It'd just be a different form of ownership. And
yes, sir.
We would not allow that many buildings in that space. You'd have to 8,000 square foot per
right,
building.
Right, but in condominium style of ownership, they don't have to meet the same setbacks and everything.
Right.
So there is different allotments, but there's a different way to measure. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
When it comes to impervious cover. And
another concern that the public has got about this, can I see my pointer back?
Oh, sorry, sir.
Is taking trees down. What we tried to do in consideration on this is this road coming in here like this is the present road that's there. We tried to minimize taking down any more of the forest than we had to in there, and that's why we're trying to use the existing road. They'll have to be widened some. I'm sure there's going to have to be some trees removed, but we didn't go in there and just cut through the trees to make a new road in there or anything. We actually done it down. You can see the existing road there that's dashed in and followed all the way out because there's like little islands in here where they drive around them. The edge of the pavement, the gravel's all the way over here like this. You know, it's fairly wide in there now, and all we're doing is using the existing road that's there. We're not trying to take it down.
Going back to the PNC meeting,
uh-huh.
Was that motion that was made to approve, did it fail because of a lack of a second, or was there a second?
It failed, when it actually failed was when...
My question was whether there was a second to the motion.
I don't remember.
I don't remember. There may have been, but I can't swear.
There wouldn't have been a second to the motion because they never voted.
Right.
Because they didn't get a second, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Not on the motions to
approve. I know when one member pointed out that they couldn't do what the other member was wanting to do as far as the bonding, that's when it died at that point, if I remember.
It died
for a lack of a second, yes.
Well, I mean, yeah, at that point there, when the one member couldn't do what he wanted to do the project, that it died at that point for lack of a second. And that's when he got frustrated, and then the motion was made to deny. And I'd be happy to answer any more questions if you've got them or whatever.
Questions?
I guess I've got a couple.
Sure.
Since I do not know you and the owners are not here, how are you representing them?
I'm a land surveyor that does a lot of public hearings, and I've been here before this board several times that I represent people, and I do work for them, and that's how I'm associated with them.
Okay. Is this the way it is currently platted?
Currently, it's just one big piece that the resort sets on.
Okay, so then we want to go through and replat to the five lots?
Six lots.
Here. Six lots?
Yes, sir.
So one of them is the sewer treatment plant.
If you would, Mr. Hansel, let me go back.
Got
every time I point at the screen, it goes off.
You need to point
I'm just going
to
talk about it. Yeah. No, sir, I'm fine. This is how this is lot 14. You'll see it come down around. It makes the big rectangle. It includes part of that road there. So this is how that is platted now. In today's code book and everything, since this was done way before planning and zoning and everything, the plat would show where each one of these cabins is, but at this particular time it wasn't required. So, Dan, if you go back to the
five a second.
Okay. what would happen in this scenario is you create a lot up here in the corner, one lot.
Okay.
You create a lot with that square, this square, and this square, so that's four. You create
right. The
fifth lot here, and then on this side of the road, coming down making this curve, becomes the sixth lot.
Okay, but this is a proposed... plat.
Yes, sir. That is correct. This is the project that was presented to planning and zoning for approval.
Okay.
And basically, what this thing shows is the existing buildings, as you see in black, and the proposed new buildings in red.
Okay. Now we're talking condominium. Do we have a condominium association or any declarations, covenants?
It is required that if you file a plat for condominium that the declarations be filed with that plat as it's filed.
Okay.
Now, the four lots at the top there would be single-family homes. They want to be able to be associated with the resort as far as their nightly rental program. So they would stay as commercial property as the property is now. But they could be whole ownership, single families, never go into the nightly rental program, or they could be used as vacation homes and allowed to be rented out.
Okay. And if they don't sell any of them in there, they could just be rebuilt, used as a resort.
That is correct.
Yeah. David?
And they're planning on knocking one down, building a cabin, knocking one down, building.
And you know, if the board was in favor of letting them do this, and want to put that into the decision, they wouldn't have any problem with it. I mean, that's all they intend to do. They're not looking.
They're going to call up condominiums, whole ownership with the option to rent. Is it going to presented when prospective buyers come live here? Oh, you can rent it if you want to, or is it going to be presented as?
He'll have to be presented to change ownership. It'll have to be sold as a condominium. And they would have the option to buy that condominium and not put it in the program, or they would have the option to put it into the resort rental program to where it could be rented out. So if they bought it, they'd be in full control, but they'd have that option to do that, which is done primarily about any resort area I know of that's sold off as a condominium.
I guess, real quick, I would bring your focus back to the place where what we're actually looking at here is, did the Planning and Zoning Board follow their procedures, or did they create an error, or create a situation that was an error of law based on their seeing this as an increase in density and therefore changing the compatibility with the area because of the increased buildings and traffic in the area, which is what it boils down to. Whether you like the project or don't like the project, I don't think she came into play, but did Planning and Zoning make an error of law or process?
And she brought the air park up, and I had no knowledge of the air park. What time frame did that start and end?
I don't know. I wasn't involved with it, Dave, when it started. It's probably, 4 to 6 years old?
I believe about 2007 when it first came through, if I'm not mistaken. And it seems like 2007, if I'm not mistaken. Because I started with the county in 2006, and it was when I was new.
It was after I came in, so it's three and a half years.
And then, according to the records in the assessor's office, the Warners bought this property in 2009.
I don't know, Dave, exactly when they did purchase this. I really don't.
Dan, bring the...
he can look on Beacon there real quick and tell you.
Bring that Beacon picture back up and run down.
Okay.
Go to the bottom of that.
Because it'll show the date of deed transfer.
It'll show the transfer date at the bottom here.
Had to have been before 2009.
2007.
2007.
10.
October 2007.
That's when the deed was recorded.
Okay.
So they ran the resort about 3 years the way it is.
Okay. Any other questions of anybody? Thank you. At this time, we'll close this from the public, and we'll open the board up for discussion. What do you want to do?
Yes.
David?
All we really need to consider is this an error of law in the code book?
That's what they're claiming. They're claiming an error of law because, he's saying that they really, what he's trying to tell you is they really had a different reason for denying it, and then they went with compatibility and density. Essentially what you have is, could they deny it? Did they follow their policies? Denying it based on density and compatibility, or was it an error of law for them to do that?
Sense any sort of motion to be made by member.
I will make a motion to deny the appeal and uphold the Planning and Zoning Commission's, or Planning and Zoning's decision.
Bob Anslin. Motion is made. Is there a second to that motion?
I would second that motion.
Jack Johnson has a second. Anybody have any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote then. Bob, your vote?
For the motion.
For the motion to deny the appeal?
Correct.
Jack?
For the motion.
To deny?
Yes.
All right. Tom?
Against
the motion.
You're against the motion?
Mm-hmm.
David?
Against.
Against the motion?
Yes, against the motion.
All right. The chairman would vote for the in favor of the denial at this point in time. Take three in favor, four rather than just the majority, as this is the case.
You got me confused which way.
I voted for the
denial.
For the denial.
Okay.
So we got three in favor of the denial and two against the denial.
Okay. I didn't quite understand how you voted there.
All right. I'm sorry. Thank you. We'll go to the next case at this time. Bob Shantz.
Ready for staff report? This is the Taney County Board of Adjustment staff report for Bob Shantz, dated November 17, 2010, case number 10-4. This is the public hearing for an appeal of the National Institute of Marriage in the Branson Township, Section 22, Township 23, Range 21. The applicant, Bob Shantz, is requesting an appeal of the Taney County Planning Commission decision to approve a marriage counseling resort. History is that this project was approved by the Planning Commission on July 19, 2010. General description, the subject property is located at 210 Ella Lane. The adjoining properties to the request consist of residential, agricultural, and multi-use. Review, the applicant maintains that the project is incompatible with the surrounding area and that the roads in the area are too narrow to handle the added traffic, making traveling them unsafe. Summary, if the Taney County Board of Adjustment approves this appeal, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the board. Permit number 10-2 would be revoked. All other provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code will be met, and the decision of record will be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. Let's go ahead and look at the picture so you'll know where we are, and then I'll give you a summary of everything. This is the piece of property here. This is Sunset Inn Road, or T30, which goes out to T Highway, which runs out to Highway 76. So you access that just past the electric company there on T Highway, and then followed out to T30, take a left, and it goes on out to this area. Blow that up a little bit, Dan. This is the property where the National Institute of Marriage is located, and while you see this, this is exactly this section here, 50 foot, and that is the platted road easement in there, and I'll get to that in just a little bit. In this area, there's also a little cabin right here. There's a lot here, here, and here, and these make up a subdivision. I'll get into that for you just a little bit. Ladybug Drive is down here, and then of course this is Sunset Inn Road, which then ends up into this area. Okay, Dan, let's move on just a little bit. Of course, a bigger blow up of what you're seeing here and everything. So, go ahead. I wanted to show you this. This was originally part, and I'm going to read this to you, of the Lefevre subdivision. This was the first part of Ella Road that was put in here, or not wasn't put in, but was platted in, recorded in 1922. Since that time, there's been a few changes out there and everything. Go ahead and go to the next one, Dan. There was a certificate of survey in 2001 that kind of laid this out. You can see this is an easement, and this was actually a road easement also. At this particular time, if you'll watch these properties, how they begin to change it. Do you have another one after that? This is what we were just looking at. But again, you can see in 2001, because of the lots that were out here, Ella Road was extended. It is declared to be a 50-foot road easement and everything like that. Do you have the...
On the original plat, it was 10-foot wide, and then when the surveys were done, it became a 50-foot wide easement.
Wider and wider. So, and this is the... is this the Delilio? Yes. This property was, at one time, was owned by, I believe, Mr. Smalley. It was Thunder Ranch at one time. Mr. Delilio bought it, came before our board, got an approval to do a bed and breakfast with, I think, 5 or 8 or something like that, additional cabins out here for the bed and breakfast on the 10 acres. And during that meantime, he began to split some of this property up again. And then he filed another plat with what's called a Delilio minor subdivision and brought it into its current configuration today. Out there, off of T30, using Yellow Lane as its access, there are 5 lots serviced by this road, the biggest one being this National Institute of Marriage lot, which is a little over 10 acres. You have a video? Or
Joe mentioned this Favor.
Right, out in the front, it's, I believe this area up here is still part of what they would call the Favors subdivision and everything, so according to down in here also. So we're going to take you out here, and this will make a little sense to you here just a second here. This is the entrance, this being Ella Lane right here. We're going to bring you around. This is Sunset Inn Road, T30, right here. It ends down in here to a gate, you see there.
That's T30, is that a county road?
This is, I believe, a county maintained road, yes, sir. And I'll state that again in a minute, but this road, Sunset Inn Road, is a 30-foot road easement, is what's there. Now the road itself is not 30-foot wide, but the road easement is 30-foot wide. Okay, and then, so coming into Ella Lane here, you see, I want you to notice this, and then what we have basically is a driveway. When minor subdivisions are platted, normally, before they're signed off or anything like that, it's a requirement that the road be in at minimum county standard. Somehow, when this was done, you can see that didn't quite happen.
Is that where the original 10-foot road was platted?
Yes.
And that's about 10 feet wide right there, that easement?
One car wide.
Okay.
If you want to turn around, you come down here to turn around.
But now that easement's 50 feet wide.
Now the easement's 50 feet wide. It takes in this area over here, and I'll show you that as we come back out. As a requirement for Mr. Delilio, when he platted the subdivision back there, he had to provide these easements for these roads and everything. So this would be the area out here, the 10-plus acres for the National Institute of Marriage that's there now. This is the main house where Mr. Delilio had the bed and breakfast, but where the National Institute of Marriage offices are right at this time. Right over here, I believe that's it, it may be a little further down, is the one lot that I told you had a cabin. You saw the one road run over to the side there. That is it over there. And as we come around here, you'll be able to see that just a little bit better. That's not actually it. It's back over here. I don't know if we're going to take you over there or not. I guess we're not. So let me just kind of give you a quick recap of what I've mentioned to you. This is, again, this was part of the Lefavre subdivision survey recorded January 9, 1922. Ella Road was, as we've been looking at this, has grown from 10 to 30 to... the 50-foot easement that it is now. The Delilio subdivision was filed on March 21st, 2005. At that particular time, Ella was extended and widened the easement, not the road, but the easement, all the way back to the last property that served. That plat was signed by Stony Pride and Greg Smith, who was administrator at that time. on December 13, 2006, an amended plat to the DeLillo subdivision was filed, again, it reaffirmed the 50-foot easement for Ella Road. That plat was signed by Ed Akers, who was chairman of the P&Z board at the time, and Kurt Larson. Recap, to get to the property, property's accessed from Highway 76 to T Highway to T30, which is Sunset Inn Road, to Ella. Ella is a 50-foot platted subdivision road serving five lots, Sunset Inn, especially once you cross Ladybug there, is a 30-foot easement, but it has a very narrow driving surface. The request to the Planning and Zoning Board was a multi-use facility on 10.22 acres for the National Institute of Marriage. Request is for the existing home, two additional service, multi-use type buildings, and 25 cabins, which basically are freestanding motel type rooms, about 400 square feet when I did some calculating today. Density is about 3 units per acre. All the structures are to be owned by the National Institute of Marriage for the operation of their business and not to be sold as timeshares or condominiums. The project scored a 12 out of a possible 103 on the relative policy checklist, with issues to be considered as follows: emergency water supply, traffic on Ella Road and Sunset Inn Road, utilities as far as sewer and water, emergency services, stormwater runoff. Each issue was considered and discussed, and where applicable, requirements were made to correct the situation. The project was presented to the board in phases with requirements based on the phasing request. The offices could be occupied, and they could occupy the existing house, and the existing systems such as the well and septic could be used until capacity was reached. Before any construction on the site, 458 feet of Ella Road was to be improved to the minimum county road standards. That's the part from where it joins into Sunset Inn Road out to where that first junction is. And that was the requirement that was placed on the National Institute of Marriage, although that easement is for the entire subdivision. When construction begins on phase two, the requirement was that Ella Road be finished out to its termination at the last lot in the back. Upon expansion of the facility, as they got into phase two and everything, a DNR-approved wastewater treatment system and a commercial water well is to be installed, and that is monitored by the Taney County Regional Sewer District and DNR to see what's going on out there. All buildings are part of the National Institute of Marriage, and the operation and the operation of their business is not to be sold or transferred. In other words, if the National Institute of Marriage was to fall upon hard times, they couldn't sell off a cabin to raise some cash real quick or anything. That's particular. Not to say that, you know, if they went bankrupt, somebody couldn't come back and asked to do something different with the property, as we see now. The process was as follows. The application was filed on 6-1 of 2010. The pre-application conference was held at 6-3 of 2010. The concept hearing was held on 6-21 of 2010. At the concept hearing, 7 of our 9 board members were present. The property was posted, newspaper published, property owners on the list published. There were 16 of those, and they were mailed. Public hearing was held on 7-12 of 2010 with 9 out of 9 of our board members present. The regular meeting where the vote is taken was held on 7-19 of 2010. The vote was unanimous with 6 out of our 9 members present. The decision of record was recorded on 8-20 of 2010, and the appeal to the Board of Adjustment was filed on 11-17 of 2010. The appeal appears to be based on safety issues and incompatibility issues, which were stated by staff and residents during the public hearing, and each issue was discussed and considered before the Planning and Zoning Board reached a decision.
If at this point in time, could I ask for a 5-minute break?
That's fine.
Back in 5 minutes. Left leg, right leg, up.
Yeah. Your mics are still live. Your mics are still live.
Just talking to you.
Oh, that's okay. I'm just letting you know.
Reconvene the meeting at this time, please.
Mr. Clements, if I could make one final statement and then answer any questions that you might have. The stipulation for the road was placed on the National Institute of Marriage, and when a project goes under appeal to the Board of Adjustment or anything like that, we don't issue permits to do any construction or anything as far as that project is concerned. On Friday, our board meeting for the planning zoning, they did ask me last month to go out and make sure that Mr. Pyatt and the National Institute of Marriage had started the road and were proceeding on with what was required. And then on Friday, they did start that. I did receive some phone calls telling me that it's under appeal. I shouldn't be allowing work to happen out at that place. I did consult with the county attorney and some other people like that. Work is not progressing on the National Institute of Marriage property. It is only in the road easement. It is less than an acre of ground. It doesn't require any permits in any way of anything. But no construction is going on as far as the building of cabins or anything like that at the National Institute of Marriage property. But the road easement is for the entire subdivision. And we did not see the need to stop that because of where it was located and what it was.
All right. And for the record, I was just out there about 3 o'clock, 3:30 this afternoon, and there is gravel base on the left side as you're going in, the row of trees and the original gravel road, and then there's another freshly laid base from the property line out to Sunset Inn.
Yes, sir.
And so there is, I actually drove out on the base area, so they have at least complied with that particular part of it. All right. We need to swear in those that would like to speak tonight, so if you all would stand and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and the testimony you're about to give?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Mr. Shantz, you're the ask for the appeal. You can go first. All right. State your name and spell your last name for the record.
Bob Shanz, S-C-H-A-N-Z, 269 Hillman Drive, Branson.
Okay. And where is Hillman Drive?
It's...
There's a pointer out there, Mr. Shantz. But this is going to be it.
Right. That's right.
Okay. And Mr. Shantz owns two lots there, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yeah, three or four, really. But empty lot. Two homes and other lots. Over the past few months, I'm sure you're all aware of a lot of problems that have arisen about planning and zoning. James Strahan, planning and zoning rules called ridiculous. County seeks input on P&Z. And here's a deal here where planning and zoning meets dates. Then there's a lawsuit, land dispute heading to court. That was one. Here's another one, county sued over P&Z. And there's a lot of people very unhappy with P&Z, and I'm sure you've heard about a petition which is going around.
Mr. Shantz, if I could, if you would stick to the point, we're talking about the National Institute of Marriage and your reasons for your appeal for this particular board to register, nothing about all this other extraneous material
It shows that they're not doing their job properly, or this.
But so, that still is not pertinent to this situation.
Well, I thought it was. Okay, I'm sorry, sir. Well, we'll get to the Marriage Institute then. The Sunset End Road, T30, from T Highway to about Ella Lane is 2 miles. The road, 1.7 miles up to Ladybug Lane, has got 11 twists and turns in it. You said you were there today, so you know that it's very curvy. There's 11 of them, and I think 8 of them are dangerous.
Like a lot of our roads in Payne County.
Well, but this one is, I think, more than... it's seriously bad. Once you get to Ladybug, the road goes down to a one-lane road. Now, they might have widened Ella Lane 50 feet wide, but you can't get but one car at a time for that other 0.3 mile. And the amount of people that this is going to be bringing, if they're going to have 25 cabins, that's 25 cars. On the internet, I found that they have 14 counselors, psychiatrists, doctors, whatever, and I'm sure we're going to have domestic help to take care of the cabins, wash them, clean them, do whatever. They're going to serve meals there. There's going to be cooks, servers, office staff. There's going to be a lot of people over there. So I originally said there'd be 300 to 350 cars a week, 15,600 to 18,200 a year. And now that I find out there's more staff there, I think that'll even go up higher. The speed limit on Sunset End Road is 25 miles an hour. I don't know what they're doing there. I was on their property a long time ago when Gary Smalley owned it, and then when Tim Hill had his little orphanage there, there's going to be 6 or 8 people. I wondered about that, but 6 or 8 children, a lot of families have 6 or 8. I know a family here has got 10 children, so that was okay. But with what they're doing now, bringing this in, and now since this has been approved, the lady who owns the Gibson house, which was Smalley's daughter, she now wants to put in a prairie tree and stuff. That's been approved. So I didn't count those cars in this deal. That's going to be more cars, and they are going in and out of there right now. I thought they had to wait until they got some sort of permit, but the other night I'm told there were 29 cars come flying out of there. One man had his dog killed and run over. All these years he's lived there, nothing's ever happened. Now the dog has run over. The road at Ladybug Lane, I have to come out on Ladybug. When you come out on Ladybug, you have to go halfway into Sunset End Road before you can see down the road. It's got a twist and a turn in it. There's a stop sign on Ladybug, but there's not a stop sign on Sunset End Road coming up that direction. Cars come flying by there. People who live there spent their hard money to buy property there, which me too. I'm looking to die there. Other people have children there, grandchildren there. A lot of people, if you go there, especially in the summertime, after dinner, Saturdays and Sundays, you'll see people walking up and down Sunset End Road. There's no parks there. There's nothing there. That's where they get their exercise. You'll see a mother and a father pushing a baby and another child walking with a dog. This happens every single day in the summer. Now that it's getting a little darker, I haven't driven down there. I haven't felt good lately. But this is going to mess their lifestyle up. And we all went there to have it peaceful and quiet. I mean, I've got deer that I feed cookies out of my mouth, and I'm afraid this is going to mess it up, that the deer won't be there, the owls. I mean, it's not going to be a very good place. With all the people that they're going to have there, another thing that bothers me and bothers some of the other people, I'll pull this off the internet, it's a nonprofit corporation. So I understand they charge, I was told, and I'd like to be explained to them, I was told to get $3,000 a week for a couple at 25 cabins, that's $75,000, that's $300,000 a month. If it's $100,000, it's still a lot of money to be getting for a marriage counseling service. But this should not be there. The amount of people who live in the area, I quickly added up the houses, and two families have lived there over 100 years. I've lived there 18 years. Some live there 30. When you add all this together, there's probably 1,000 years of people living in that area, and we are listening now to a few people who have been here 2 years. This is not right. It's not right for them to disrupt our lives. I've got two homes. Since Mama died, I've been trying to sell one. I can't sell it. I've been offered less than what I bought the original house for before I added the addition. Now, with this over here, it's going to be even worse. I mean, give us a break. I mean, this is all a lot of us have. I'm old. I'm retired. I'm collecting Social Security. That's all I've got is that house to fall back on. Can't sell it. So you got to keep paying the taxes. I have to pay my taxes, but now this is a tax-free, a non-profit deal, and the other one's non-profit? I mean, it's not right. It's causing a lot of problem for the, like I say, the people that walk up and down the street. And I asked at a previous meeting here, I said, what if you build the 25 cabins and the business is not successful? And one of the gentlemen who was here said, well, we'll either be timeshare or nightly rentals. And I don't know. They can tell me if I'm right or not, but I'm told that some of the people involved in this project had something to do with Paradise Resorts on Highway 86. So is this a way to start a religious-type marriage service? And if it doesn't work, we're going to have nightly rentals and condos or whatever you're going to do? That is not right. Now, I know Mr. Cox, he said it's going to be 3 units per acre, but there's already a lot of homes and cabins and barns and everything on this property. So I don't think that 3 per acre is accurate. You put 25, and some of that property goes off the hill. It may be 10 acres, but I know where I live. It's 110 feet down, so I know the Corps of Engineers own some of it, but how much of the land is actually usable? And the water system over there, I'm having a problem with mine. I talked to a man over the weekend, $1,299. He's going to put something so I get cleaner water. Is this going to affect everybody's water there? That's not right for us because they're going to do that. I don't know if they can go deeper and whatever they're going to do, but it's not the right place, and I think you should just deny it. Look at the road. Look at it from Ladybug down where it gets narrow. I asked somebody that owns property there. I said, well, you know, sell it to them for $1 million. Let them widen it. He said there ain't enough money for them to buy it. They don't have enough money to buy it. So somebody that's been there over 100 years in their family, now to be told, you know, you have to do this and do that, it's not right. And I think if this goes on like it is, I know there's going to be petitions to get rid of planning and zoning. And maybe if that's the case, and I'll put in an institute for divorce. I mean, we'll do something. I mean, it's not right. So let them go somewhere else. I don't know all the players. I'm told there's certain players. I keep telling one of them. Two of them I'm pretty sure of, but they have quite a bit of money, and they're doing this supposedly for God. Well, you know, God brought me here to this country, to this county. He brought the other people there. God found this for us, and I think we deserve to have what we came here for without having to fight 100 cars a day going up and down the road and running us off the road. Now, another thing,
your time's about up, Bob.
Well, I thought if you're the appealer, you had a little longer time, but I'll show you real.
I'm already giving you almost 10 minutes.
Well, let me give you this here. Thistle, that's just half a mile away from that. No fire hydrants, no nothing. The house burnt to the ground. Why? Because it was a narrow road, and by the time the second pumper truck got there, they couldn't get by from all the first responders and stuff. So let them put in fire hydrants and a whole lot of things before they do this. Thank you.
So if I could summarize what you said, you don't actually border the property, you can't see the property, you don't drive by the property to get there.
Yes, but, I can't see it.
But you're wanting us to have your opinions on somebody else's piece of property.
I can't see it, and I can hear them at night. They're having parties there now at night. In fact, I hollered. I thought you were here to pray. Go.
Mr. Chance was not within the 600-foot radius of that property, so he was not on that original mailing list. The second property there, the belong in the yellow outline there right against the lake on the lower side, is a property in that subdivision, and he does border that. He's within 600 feet of that property. Now, with the density of trees and everything, I don't know that he can or cannot see the National Institute of Marriage at all.
Yes, I can.
I can't speak to that, but he was not within the 600-foot radius of the National Institute of Marriage property to be notified.
All right. Thank you. Rod Redden? Or Redard?
There you go.
Redard.
You got
Rod Redard, R-E-D-A-R-D.
Yes, sir.
Let's see, my house should be right there. I spoke at the Planning and Zoning Commission, and it seemed like it was basically to deaf ears. We talked then. Sunset Inn now is basically the Sunset Inn Raceway. That's basically only started since the Marriage Institute has been put in there. I don't know how many staff members that they have. There's one that drives a little white car. I guess she thinks she's an Indy driver. They come out of Ella. It's pedal to the metal right there when they come out of Ella. When they're coming to work in the morning and I'm going out to work in the morning, as Mr. Shantz pointed out about all the curves in the road, there's a couple of them, sir. Since you said you drove it, this afternoon or whatever it was, you know there's a couple of them, though. They're a pretty sharp S-turn there in one particular place. That little white car comes around that corner. You better be over there against the trees on the right side, because she's cutting the corner on the inside. Now, the other morning, I nearly put my truck in the ditch, and I was that far over, because I come close to taking out the fence right there. And it's like, hey, I got to get to work. I don't care. That was sort of the attitude that I got about the Planning and Zoning Commission. That was one of my main concern. We've been here just over 2 years. We moved up here after being 40 years in Texas. We moved up here to be close to my daughter, my grandsons. My grandsons, I make sure they can't ride their bikes out there in the street anymore, out there on Sunset. Now, you just, sir, you mentioned there that they went ahead and put in the road, and I understand from one of the truck drivers, yeah, they had to have that road in there by this evening before this meeting. To meet whatever deadline that was. Well, to me, that sounds like some hanky-panky going on somewhere. Whatever, that somebody. And these people come with the idea, and the spokesman of the Marriage Institute was, well, we want to be good neighbors. We want to get along with everybody. Well, I think the idea is we want to get along as it suits me, and basically the heck with all the other neighbors. As long as we get the Marriage Institute and we get what we want over here and we get our 25 cabins, besides if they get those 25 cabins, where's the sewer going? We've already got a problem over here with the other sewer outfit that you've already got in here back over here. Off of Hillman, it needs a trailer park back in here. I can hear from my house sometime when that alarm's going off, and it goes off for hours before anybody goes off and it says there's trouble over there. Where's the sewerage going into Taney Como? I don't know. I just have bad feelings about the property. And again, Mr. Shantz mentioned about the fire. And we've had two fires out there in the last 2 months. And emergency vehicles getting down in there, and it'd be very hard. Well, now that they got the new road in there on L, it'd be probably a little bit easier to get one of those big fire trucks down there from that the county has, and maybe he could get around that corner to get back in there to whatever's going on. But I have my doubts about him getting there very, very quick, because he's going to have to stop and jog it around if he's even going to get in there. But these are some things that I think that planning and zoning and you people sort of dropped the ball on. And I like the neighborhood. I don't want to have to go move again. I thought this was going to be a retirement place and sort of a fun place to be. But it's sure not turning out to be that way.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Where are the curves that you're talking about?
They're further down.
Just a second, I'll take you. I'll have to take you out quite a ways.
Okay, yeah. So we're just talking T-highway.
Well, when you turn off T Highway on the T-30 at the start there, there's some curves
there, and then about halfway down.
Let's go back to where we were, Dan. So the curves are well before you get to Lookout Ridge or any of that.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
they are.
The traffic couldn't be coming from anywhere but that resort area, is that what you're saying? The people are driving fast?
Same cars, you can count about 10 cars that are coming in and out of here, and you can count them at noontime when they're coming out of Ella, and they're going uptown to grab a burger or something and then come flying back in here, so they get back in here. And, you know, I think it was a bunch of bull. The Marriage Institute was saying to us, well, now their resident, their people are going to come in here and they're going to be there whatever it is, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, and they weren't going to be going uptown to the shows and all this sort of thing. Well, to me, that's a bunch of bull.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Anybody called the sheriff on the speeding?
I have no idea. We've tried to get a couple of signs put out there where I live, and the county has sort of said, well, we'll get around to it, or we can't do it. Basically, we can't do it. We'd like to have a children's at play sign right there along my house, like they got up on further up closer to T Highway.
But are you saying that just the speeders are coming from there?
Well, that's the ones I see because they're going right by my house. And when they come out of Ella, they nail it right there. And there's about 10 to 15 cars that come out of there every day. And they're going back in there two and three times during the day. And when they hit down here, when they hit Ladybug, they got to watch out. There's a tree right in here. But as soon as they get past that tree, it's step on the gas and let's go flying down there. And I know the speed limit says 25, but they're going between 30 and 50 when they go by my house most of the time.
Yep, nice. Dennis Moore.
I've got a document here of what I'm going to speak on with relative to everything if I give each one of you one.
Yep, that'd be fine.
Make five of them in here. We only got five.
Yeah, look at them.
Okay, my name is Dennis Moore, and my last name, M-O-O-R-E, in the last name.
Thank you.
Okay, my name is Dennis F. Moore, and I live at 1905 Sunset Inn Road. I own 160 acres of land that surrounds on three sides of this proposed marriage counseling resort. And Sunset Inn Road, through my farm, runs 3/4 of a mile. Sunset Road at T Highway to Ladybug is a 2-lane road. From Ladybug, a 1/2 mile down to a dead end, is a 30-foot road with a 13-foot chip and seal on it. And now, if you want a reference, there's a reference map in this. Taney County Development Code, page 36.11.2.8 says that all points of access to existing public roads or highways shall meet the standard
defined by Taney County Road and Bridge. This road does not meet the 50-foot requirement that is absolute policy. Reference page 81, table L1.
Which road are you referring to?
I'm talking about Sunset Inn Road. From Ladybug on down, that's a half a mile to dead end, and Ellie Road turns off about three quarters of the way down to the left if you're going down it. And this is one-way road. There's no other way in there.
But that does not refer to that existing 30-foot or 30-foot use of road in there. That road is already there.
Yeah.
You can't force it to be a 50-foot road.
Well, okay.
It's already a county maintained road.
That's what planning and zoning says.
No.
Yeah, it does. I'm looking right there. It is reference.
Talking about the road.
Reference page 81, table L1.
If we're creating a new road, we do require that, yes, sir. An existing road would remain as it is until the area surrounding that road would be subdivided or improved, something like that, and then we would require additional easement on that. You're looking at me like you have a question on your face there.
Well, it was subdivided, I understand. It's what you told me last week for the first time I ever knew that.
Well,
and they did it without notifying anybody or anything else.
I wasn't here in 1922 when they did that.
You was there in you was here in 2006 when it was done.
But that was the backside process.
Yeah.
Please address us.
Do I?
Please address us.
Okay.
Okay. Eddie's looking up point. But my only point was you can't force somebody to improve Sunset Inn to a 50-foot.
I'm not trying to force them to do that. I'm trying to tell you that it needs to be a 50-foot road for what they're putting in back there.
To a public road, is that correct, Eddie?
He said page 81.
I don't have the code in front
of
me.
No, I don't.
Isn't it a 50-foot right-of-way to the to an existing public road?
Yes, sir.
And Sunset Inn, or is that a public road?
My understanding it is, yes, sir.
So what would be required is a 50-foot right-of-way to the public road, which is Sunset Inn.
That's my point.
Will there be out?
That's all right. Continue.
Let's see, where was that? Relative policy of page 3611, 2.8b, traffic development that will contribute to traffic in excess or current rate capacities, a public road or a highway is discouraged. Presently, there are 10 existing houses with 2 cars per house at 2 trips per day. Add 1 car, now the 2 trips per day, that is 40 trips. Add 1 car per cabin that they're going to build back there, 2 trips per day is 100, and then they're going to have that's 40 trips, no, 50 trips minimum. Add 150-seat cathedral. Now you got 300 trips up the road, plus the staff that is required to open the center, and it would be on any given day. The possibility of 400 or more trips down the road. One way down, a 13-foot wide road that only has a right-of-way of 30 feet. Then you have to look at the access from Sunset Inn Road to the proposed development. It is nowhere near 50 even feet, though planning and zoning has been told it was. At the most, it is 25 feet with a row of trees down the middle, 2-lane road.
Are you speaking of the road surface?
Huh?
The actual road surface is maybe 20 feet wide, but you're not talking about the easement itself.
Well, the easement itself is 50 feet, but the road isn't.
I understand that.
And I don't think they can get 50 feet because where the other road goes in down through there, the original road, when I put my fence on the line, They're not going to have a road there.
Well, I don't disagree with you at all. What I'm saying is what's required in the code. My understanding is that there be a 50-foot easement. It doesn't say that you have to actually build a 50-foot wide road there.
It says absolute in the planning and zoning.
It says there has to be a 50-foot easement. The driving service does not have to be 50-foot. And all the surveys that we have seen that have been recorded do show Ella Road to have a platted 50-foot easement. I'm not sure I found what Mr. Moore was looking for, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Mr. Moore, so I'll let you go ahead and
go ahead. No, see if I can answer your question.
It says, of course, this particular lot that does run out to this supplying the easement out there, it says lots that are created shall have either direct access to a public road with a 50-foot minimum width or a platted easement 50-foot. Lots that are greater in area than 5 acres shall have direct frontage access to existing public roads. The access can be established by easement. However, potential direct access to the public road or road shall be present. It doesn't. When in that particular lot that is supplying the access out there is over 5 acres.
Okay. Now then, you got the right to farm. Page 35, paragraph 11.2.5b. The development that could limit the viability of existing agriculture. Uses are discouraged. Limit to the viability of existing use could include potential nuisance or libel suits, predictions of livestock by domestic dogs, and traffic conflicts, which is a realistic policy, is needed to be considered. Now, I have to cross this road to feed my cattle because I own the land on both sides of the road there. And I have to go up and down this road to feed different fields. I have to move my cattle up and down this road. And we've only got a 30-foot road with a 30-foot chip and seal drive.
How many acres do you have on the Ellis Lane?
On Ellie Lane? Uh-huh. On the north end of it, I've got eight.
8 acres?
Uh-huh.
Out of your 160.
Right up there where it says Ella, he owns that square up there.
Yep.
And then he owns down here.
Where their white sign, their white fence and their sign sitting on my property.
Gotcha. How many head do you run on that 8 acres?
Pardon me?
How many head of cattle do you run on that 8 acres?
I've got 34 head.
On the 8 acres?
No, I don't have none on the 8 acres. But I may run them over there, you know, back and forth the road when the grass is gone. I can't put them over right now.
Yeah, how many head would you normally keep on 8 acres?
Eight. I'd probably put 30 or 40 head in there at one time to eat the grass down and move them out.
Okay. Have you ever done that?
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, I did that till they tore my fence down. You know this guy, DeLalo, that had this before?
Don't know him.
Well, he's the one that started this subdivision down there that never notified anybody about it and all this stuff.
Okay.
Now about the planned development. They plan to build 25 cabins and 150-seat cathedral on 10 acres. Now, this 10 acres has about 2 to 3 acres that lays down over a 200-foot bluff. So evidently, they're not going to build nothing there. This is usable, reducing the land down to 7 acres. It has a 700-foot square house on it, a road, electrical line. That the middle of the restricted on the electrical line is 30-foot easement. And all this brings the land usage down. How do they plan to build things with a parking lot for over 150, 200 people and still have any green space, as it is suggested in the Planning and Zoning Guide? How will they control water runoff on this large parking lot? We already have enough bad water running into Lake Tanicomo. Do we need, at last result, get DNR involved in because of the environmental impact that haven't been addressed? Okay, that's all I got to say.
All right, sir. I gave you a little extra time because we were interrupting you, too.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you very much.
All righty.
David Herod.
My name is David Herod, H-A-R-R-O-D.
Gotcha.
I just got two issues here.
All right.
I hear about you putting this church in and all this. And I've been through two divorces. I know what it's all about. Now, they've talked about all this staff and everything. Ain't nobody said nothing about security. What happens when this person gets to spawn? Or this one here? Next one brings a gun. How many officers are you going to hire now? How much is it going to cost us to run officers down there? Are they going to get there in time? Or are they going to go and shoot and spray and kill my grandchildren? Just right across the hill.
And you know, where do you live?
I live bottom of Hillman Drive.
There's a point right there, mister. Push the red button.
I live right at the bottom of Hillman Drive right here. And I can hear them over there. I can hear the people right over here. And the other day I brought my grandchildren inside. They live with me. I raise them. They were shooting. Somebody was shooting. So I bring my kids inside. I don't hunt over there. I've never heard nothing about security, enforcement, anything about, it's about a church. That's fine and dandy. But people, when your mate does same things that your other mate's not supposed to do, things happen in their minds. And I've seen it, been there. Are we going to hire more officers? Cost the county more money? Are they going to get there in time? Fire trucks going to get down there in time? Because that road ain't wide enough for two trucks to pass. Looky-loos get down there. Truck's not going to get into that place. Or anybody else. They start a fire down there. What's it going to do? It's going to drop to the bottom of that holler, and it's going to come up and wipe everybody out right here. Because the wind comes right up across there. And has anybody addressed that? And this gentleman here? I've been run off the road three times by the same white car. Once, completely off the road, almost head on with my grandchildren. I ain't having that. On the same curbs that he's talking about. They don't have no respect for us at that dinner. They come out of there, like he said. It's flat-footed. They get to that tree, oops, if there's a car coming, they slow down. But other than that, it's flat-footed. Somebody coming off of Ladybug Lane, so be it. Oh, well, she's flat-footed. And that's not the only one. There's more than one. About 10, 12 of them now. Okay. Same thing goes. What happens when you get somebody that throws a fit or their spouse, they caught their spouse cheating, they take off down that Ladybug Lane. My mother-in-law walks across the street or my father-in-law drives across to check his cattle. They ain't going to care. They're going to barrel right on through there. There's people walk up and down there. It's 25 miles an hour. Not 70. Not 60. It's 25. I can understand 30. But oh my God. I've been 16 years here. 14 years going up and down that road. And never seen it this bad. I won't let my wife drive one. Will not. And your water, where's the runoff going to go? Down on other people's property? I worked for the county for 6 years. I know grade. I can shoot grade. I know where it's going. And it's going across other people's property. Is that water going to be clean for that man's cattle? I don't think so. Oil, gas, comes off in vehicles? No. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have a question for you? On the infamous white car.
Yes.
Have you called the sheriff?
Yes, sir, I have.
And what have they done?
I need her tag number. Well, I can't catch her. I mean, she ran me off the road. I caught her once.
Got a camera?
I was so mad when I asked her. I said, what was the purpose of that? Well, I didn't see. I said, you didn't see me? I was on the far right side coming out. You were coming in on a left curve. You should have been on the outside lane. Why were you on the inside lane? You pushed me in the ditch. She said, well, there's no lines. No lines on the road. So that gives you the right to come over? Over the center of the road?
See, now for me, I'd get that license.
Oh, I'm going to get it.
By Cook.
I'm going to get it. I sit right here at this corner. Right? Let's see where we at.
We've got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. It's right here. Ladybug and T30 right there. And I trimmed them trees right there on that property. Right there at that corner. Counted 15 cars.
Thank you.
Gary Grindelsberger.
Name's Gary Grindelsberger. That's GRINDELSBERGER. Could you bring that map up that shows the
down the ladybug? Towards the ladybug, sir?
Which map you look for, sir?
The one that shows all the properties. It's in black and white.
Black and white, then.
Must be talking about plat?
Yep.
Yeah.
This one? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
That one, sir?
That's my property right there. And that's my property. My concern is, before we just had this road here, I got a hitchhiker, fifth wheel, had this much clearance on each side. They did build the other road, which helps me tremendously. But this road right here, you've heard it time and time again. Them cars do come through there. And from Ladybug on into Ella Lane here, if you meet a car, one of them has to go to the ditch to get around. And I have come down this road and had people follow me so close that I couldn't even see their lights. Honking at me, wanting me to speed up. I'm driving the speed limit. Which really has nothing to do with this over here, but I don't know. You get that many cars coming down that road. I bought this house June the 30th of this year, not knowing anything about this, what's going on. So I haven't been here long enough to know really what to say except what I see right now. These people here that's got that marriage encounter, you look on the internet, you'll see that they got the place for rent. And there's always, anywhere from 2 to 5 cars down there. And they're coming in and out all the time. Which this road that they put in right here is going to help. But both roads is 10, 12 foot wide. And just talking about that sewer plant, my house is right about here. There's another house right here that's never been lived in. That sewer plant's right there. You could, I mean, it, from this house that sits right in here, I guarantee you can throw a rock down there and hit the plant. It's that close. And I've got, has nothing to do with this, but I've got a question. DeLello started this subdivision. He lost it. I don't know whether he went bankrupt, but they took the house away from him. And the house I live in, they took it away. I bought the house from Fannie Mae. Is that still a subdivision?
Sure is.
It is. Okay.
Public record on the plat.
Okay. But that's really all I've got to say. There is a lot of traffic going in now that road, and they're not even in their busy time. I don't know whether they're using it now for their marriage encounter or not. I don't know, but I do know that except on Saturday and Sunday, there's, oh, I'll say five to nine cars down there, and they're coming in and out quite often.
There were five today when I went in there.
Huh?
There were five today when I went in there. There was five cars in there when I went in today.
Yeah.
But I didn't see anybody, so I don't know where they were. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Rindelsberger.
Yeah, that was my only deal. If they could make that road wider, I don't know if they can or not, because it is dangerous.
Phyllis Coleman.
Phyllis Coleman, spelled last name C-O-M-A-N.
Good.
Okay, I live on Hillman Drive, so I may not be within the 600 feet, but I have to drive down that road every day. And I know you've heard over and over about the traffic, but what it really comes down to, and even though you can say, well, they have a 50-foot easement, they've met this requirement or they've met that requirement, I think that we have to look at reality. Reality is that road going down into there is about 12 foot wide. The rest of Sunset is barely two lanes wide. There's no stripe on the road, like they said, and people are always over the center line because they don't know where the center line is. And there's lots of blind curves. I've been run off the road. My husband's been run off. I didn't know so many other people have been, too. I can't say that it's coming from those particular people or whatever. My point is that the increased amount of traffic, you know, with all of these people coming there that don't live there, that don't know the roads, it seems to me like it's going to be even worse. You're going to have all of these people that are making these blind curves, and they can't seem to know what side of the road they're supposed to be on. And it just seems to me like it's a dangerous situation. I think you have to take into consideration the whole thing. There's only one way for me to get to my house. I've got to go down Sunset Inn. So does everybody else that's here. So whether or not we were within the 600 feet or whatever that we didn't get a notice, you know, we still have to drive down the same road. And it impacts all of us. That's pretty much it for me.
I drove down there, and I must say I haven't been down there in at least 10 years. And the housing developments on Sunset, on
it's increased a lot.
Increased a lot. Nice houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. 50 or 60 more houses down there, and it's the same road.
Right, and it has increased a lot. But like somebody else was saying, lots of people are out walking in the summertime. A lot of people run from Kanakuk. They come up T-20. They go down T-30. So you've always got people walking or running on the road, and it's like it's turning into ridiculous land. I mean, it really is. So whether or not they can do anything about it, and, you know, my other point would be that, you know, the part of Sunset that goes past Ladybug, you know, that's about 12 foot wide, like someone else was mentioning, if you're coming off a Ladybug, you have to almost be halfway in the path in order to see if anybody's coming, and there's no stop sign there. It's just, I'm coming through. So, like I said, I can't say it's these people or those people. I'm just saying that it that many cars going down that road is going to have a big impact. Thank you.
It looks like Diane Benjamin, and I probably don't have it right.
That's all right. I'm
really strong. you can set us straight.
Thanks. It's pronounced Diantha.
Okay.
Like the coronation family.
And is Benjamin the last name, correct?
It is, so yes.
Can you spell it for the record?
Benjamin.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. As you know, we have a lot of deer in our neighborhood, let alone the traffic that they keep talking about. The deer are, I don't necessarily agree with Mr. Chance feeding them or anybody else in the neighborhood feeding them, but they are all over that road and they're very dangerous. So we have the traffic, the increased traffic. And listen, I don't think there is one of us that doesn't understand the hurt of the families in America today with the 60% divorce rate and the need for a marriage institute, you know, if they can help. And I don't know what solution you're going to come up with, that how we're going to marry all of this together because of one way in and one way out. The deer, the curves, the trees, the trash. I mean, I'm a homeowner, and I'm not that fastidious, but and there's like one or two school buses going up and down our road in addition to the vehicles. And I have to go down and back up and all that and the other thing. And I don't know if it's the kids throwing trash out the windows. I don't know if it's the garbage trucks having trash flow all over the place. But we have pride of ownership in our community. So I'm down there with trash bags myself, because I couldn't round anybody else up when I decided to do it, picking trash up off the road. Do you have people that do that in this county? Do you have trash pickers? I mean, or not, you know?
You have volunteers.
You have volunteers? Yeah.
Yes, you are.
You know, we almost have to have private parties like Denny to come and plow our roads so we can get out in the snow, and I don't know that's limited. But all I can say is, I don't know, maybe you can be miracle makers, workers, and do something that's helpful for everybody. I hope so. That's it.
Thank you very much, Diantha.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I know the last name is Gay, Mr. or Mrs. Gay.
Will Gay,
okay. That's a heck of a deal.
I'll be brief. I'll be very, very brief. I have a suggestion.
Spell your last name for the record.
Gay, G-A-Y.
Thank you.
Stripe the road. Stripe it. That way you know where the center line is. As you went down there today, right there where Jesse Britton's place is, three blind curves, okay? I'm going this way, you're coming this way. We don't see each other till the middle. You're going to have unfamiliar people down there every single week. They're unfamiliar. They're down there, and especially on that part of the road right in through there, it's dark. There's no houses on each side of the road. It's dark. Mark the road. I turn on Ladybug because I live on Hillman Drive, so I can't comment other than it is a very narrow road. Coming this way, put a stop sign there. Make them stop. But mark the road. If you approve this, put a provision in there. Mark the road. We've all been in a ditch. Everybody that lives down there has been in the ditch.
You know who owns the tree there at the corner?
I have no idea, sir.
Maybe they could cut that down and eliminate the...
I own the tree.
I kind of guessed that, Mr. Moore.
It ain't going to be cut.
I understand. Right.
So, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, I think that would solve a lot of problems. So if you do approve it, you know, you got to mark the road. Okay?
Thank you.
Mr. Gay?
Yes, sir.
What about speed bumps? Would that help? I know the controversy.
I know the snow plows. I manage motel. I mean, you know. You know, you have to build them pretty high. You know, you really do.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are going to speed. I know they pile up behind me, and they're probably cussing the old man in the pickup truck. But, you know, 25 is 25. We've got school buses. We've got kids on the side of the road waiting for school buses, you know. And, when you know, but what my big deal is you're going to have people down there that's unfamiliar weekly. You know, so, you know, and if they come in at late in the evening, which is dark, 4:30, 5 o'clock now, it's, you know, if you've never been down there, it's dark.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim Benjamin.
Jim Benjamin, B-E-N-J-A-M-I-N. The only reason I'm here is because I put my name on the list. I don't want to just repeat over and over and over what I heard, but I'm just here to, you know, if it's a tenth time, to be the tenth person, to say, guys, it's real what they're saying. I guess I'm new to the country. People laugh at me about that. But what amazes me, and I'm sure that you're all going through that, and from what I read in the papers, it amazes me that you can okay something without really knowing this. And that's that little narrow road. But the one thing I wanted to add, I love Will. He's my neighbor. I don't think the stripe is going to do it. I think that's going to be a big help. But if there's a way of getting those trees on those curves, because that's one of the reasons why people go across the center line is because you, especially if you're not familiar with driving down there with the trees almost touching your car, you get used to that. We do, so we hug them. But other people that aren't used to that, or if you're driving too fast, you're out there, and there's going to be accidents, and we're all going to be responsible for it if we don't do something about it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mark Pyatt, if you'd like to speak. You may or may not. It's up to your choice. It's just an appeal of the P&Z approval.
Okay, I'm Mark Pyatt, P-Y-A-T-T. I'm the co-president of the National Institute of Marriage. And just to clarify a couple of things, you know, there were some comments made about timeshare and our intentions. If we have no intentions of doing anything other than what we've asked for approval. Phase one includes 6 or 7 cabins. Beyond that, we don't know. We don't know where we will develop to, but got approval because we could see down the road of, you know, 5 years from now wanting to develop to 25 cabins, and that's the reason for the 25 cabins. And there were some comments also made about the road. We were instructed by P&Z to put the road in. It was our understanding that when we were under appeal, we could wait and to see how the appeal was resolved when we were informed that's not accurate, that we needed to become compliant with the P&Z requirements. So this past week, we did put in that road. So besides that, I don't know that I have anything else to add. Thank you. I'd love to answer any questions about the project, though.
Just since I've been hearing about traffic and the infamous white car, can you talk to any of your people to slow down?
You know, we did have one of the neighbors, Mr. Davis, who lives right on the corner, comment about one of our team members driving fast. It was not the little white car. We addressed it with that staff member. It's the first I've heard of a little white car, and I'm not sure who that would be, to be honest. You know, we've committed ourselves to be good neighbors, and we're really trying to. So, yeah, I'd be happy to address that if I can figure out who that is.
You might want to do it regardless of what happens here tonight.
Absolutely, yeah.
For the record, are you what status are you with the Internal Revenue Code?
We're a 501c3.
Mr. Pyatt, there's been a lot of reference made to that. that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't pay taxes on your property.
We just paid our property taxes, yes, sir.
Just because you're a not-for-profit agency doesn't mean that you don't
pay taxes. Well, it's a not-for-profit, still have to pay.
Right, okay.
The real estate taxes, they're not exempt just because they're a not-for-profit. There has to be a lot more than just being a not-for-profit.
Right. I just want to make sure. Mr. Pyatt, while you're here also, as you reach capacity, it's my understanding that you're going to have to make use of a commercial well.
Correct.
And if I'm not mistaken, that commercial well is in a separate aquifer than what your normal residential wells are. It's
yes.
Usually more than double the depth of that.
And we've engaged an engineer to help us with those issues, because those are issues I'm not sure I know how to wrestle with.
Also, as you reach capacity on your sewer system, I believe your sewer system was checked recently by the Tandy County Regional Sewer District.
Correct.
Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Found it to be operational
mm-hmm.
For what you've got going on out there, but when you reach a certain point, they've instructed you that you'll need a DNR-approved wastewater treatment plant.
Correct.
To take care of that. You're not a church, you're just a not-for-profit.
That is correct.
And let me see. also, it was made the thing about the timeshares. Your relationship with the Paradise Point Reserve resort down on Graham Clark, that was strictly a rental agreement.
We had a lease agreement with them in which we
operate the facility.
No, we did not. We leased one of the floors, and then our guest rented rooms from them.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
How many other easements do you have running through the property? I know you have one to the Grindelsberger and the next plot down.
Yeah. This is a 50-foot easement, and it follows this property line down to the property that's owned by the Scholes, which is completely separate from us. There's another easement that comes through the property to this cabin, which is owned by the Websters in California, completely separate from us. And then there's an easement that runs along this property line right here. All of the development will work around those easements, and you know, of course, we're going to obey the setbacks and all the other development issues we have around that and electric.
Mr. Pyatt, the cabins you were talking about building, the 25 average square foot.
It's a bit of a moving target. I got new drawings this week, and it's currently at 436 square feet per unit. It's a bedroom, a bathroom, and a sitting room. There is no kitchen. We do breakfast, lunch, and dinner for our clients, all in the main facility. So there's none of that is in the cabin, and they're really overnight accommodations.
So all of those cabins together total a little over 10,000 square feet, roughly. What I figure.
I'll trust your math. Yeah.
Okay. That's just, you know, wanted you to know that, because it was density is an issue that we talked about earlier. But the board did look at these more as freestanding motel rooms, basically.
Our clients, and there was a comment made about this, but our clients arrive, the majority of them arrive on Sunday, depart on Friday. They have, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, they have 32 hours of marriage counseling during that time. They're called intensives. And we've been doing them for about 12 years. We've seen literally thousands of couples. We have the highest success rate that we can find in the nation right now. I tell you the 32 hours of counseling because these folks really aren't coming to Branson to enjoy Branson. They're strung out. They spend 32 hours of counseling in 4 days. It's intense. They have breakfast, lunch, and dinner there as well in addition to that. And it's not that of an evening they couldn't go out and do something. It's not common. Generally, they go back to the room and crash.
They're not taken off for 3, 4, 5 times a day during that?
No, they're not. And now, for weekend program, when we build this, there will be some weekend programming, but it will be retreating as well, where there's programming as an element of that. It's not just a nightly rental facility. We have no intention of doing that. It's people coming in for specific marriage-related programming.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll close the public input portion of the meeting at this time, and we'll go into our deliberations. Any comments or sensing of what you'd like to decide?
Mr. Cox, is there any thing that you would know of or could think of that would address the road, widening the road, improving it?
The road, as we stated before, is a 30-foot road easement. Most of the roads that you see in the county have a driving surface of about 22 feet and with ditches on each side, so somewhere between 20 and 22 feet. So normally, taking up, you know, everything like that, you're looking at 24, 25 feet. So it is possible to for that road to be widened. That would be a decision of the county commission. It doesn't require additional easement or anything like that for that to happen. It is. I do have myself a note down here to ask Frank Preston what the procedure would be to do something like that. The road does get narrow at Ladybug on down, and if you were out there today, Mr. Clemenson, I think you saw that. And I think the rest of Sunset, although it does have the curves and stuff in it, you would consider it a two-lane road back out to T Highway. As far as painting the line on there, I don't know what the procedure is or anything like that. It is a question that I will ask him. Frank Preston does sit on the board of planning and zoning. He is the representative for the county on that board concerning roads. And at the time that the hearing was going on, I don't know that what his thoughts were on that. He didn't state any opposition to the fact that this road was small like that. He was made aware of the size of everything like that. But I can't speak as to what his plans are. Since this has happened, he may have plans for that. He may not. I just don't know. But he does sit on that board, and he was aware of what was going on. Now I can check to see if he was here on that particular night that we took the vote, if you'd like, and everything. But
the fact is, it's the county maintains road, right, and it'd be up to the county and the county commission what they do with the road.
Make a motion to deny the appeal.
So you concur with P&Z's?
Yeah, I'd make a motion to deny, uphold the planning and zoning decision. I realize that the road is a problem, but that's we don't have any power over the road.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Motion being made and seconded to deny the appeal, concur with the findings of the P&Z ruling. Any discussion?
I would just reiterate, almost everyone has referred to speeding and a small road. And very little has been addressed to an error in the judgment of the planning and zoning with direct respect to the project. So I guess my comment would just be, let's see what can happen or what can be done with improving the road or improving the condition of traffic on the road.
I'll call the question in. Call for a vote. And David, you made a motion. How would you vote?
Uphold the decision of planning and zoning. Deny the appeal.
All right. Tom?
To deny the appeal.
All right. And Jack?
I vote to deny the appeal.
And Bob?
Deny the appeal.
And the chairman would so likewise vote the same way. So we have a 5-0 in favor of the P&Z. If you look back at history of Taney County and look at the roads that we had 20 years ago or 30 years ago, I think a lot of you might even have known that T Highway at one time was mostly gravel at one time. But the county's always come through with making good roads, and the state's always been there to help us to make better roads. And if we keep people out just because of roads, we wouldn't be where we are now. So if history can repeat itself, maybe we can eliminate the road and eliminate some trees. Thank you for your time.
Nate, can I ask you a question?
No, sir.
I can't?
No, we're...
It's got nothing to do with this deal here. I want to know, if you can put in a subdivision without notifying the people that live around it.
I've already called the meeting at this portion over. We have a business to go to right now.
You have minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
You have the minutes of the last meeting before you. Motion made to approve the minutes.
Second.
Second by Tom. All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Mr. Coxey, you for the good of the cause?
I have a couple of documents I'd like to give you. In December, we are considering a couple of changes to the code book, one dealing with renewal of permits, the other one dealing with duplexes, and possibly I'll get you another one that would deal with subdivision of land in our current code book. And one job, I have that so you can kind of see what we're looking at, see if you have some input there. I'll give it to you as currently written.
Folks, could we clear the room? Are we?
So that you can have that and have some input. It's there's some tough issues in Taney County, but we are looking at that. We are ongoing with our working toward the new zoning districts and that part of that new code book and everything like that. It has been kind of at a standstill. However, we have been having some meetings with the commissioners. We've talked with an engineering firm today. Have done some talking with Diane May, and as far as procedure, it looks like that's going to kick off and get moving again here pretty quick, so that you'll know that. You were supposed to be hearing today from a Mr. Ceretti on some property. You may have already been in your packet. I can't remember or not. But that has kind of gotten, in case you were wondering, I'm just... the application has not been turned in, I guess, still, so it will be January at the earliest before you can hear that. And for next month, right now, we don't have anything for you. So, and the deadline has passed, is that correct? So,
there won't be a meeting in December, is what you're saying.
There will not be a meeting in December. So that means if you were planning on spending all that money you make here for Christmas,
you better
sell some cans.
There goes my Christmas buying money.
Gentlemen, I know you've got a terribly hard job. Well, I do appreciate you being here.
Leave that up in gas.
And everything. And it is, you know, I was telling Benita the same thing that the first group had concerns about that we used to say this decision was correct to deny that. The second group had the same concerns. I mean, you know, it just depends on which side of the fence you're on. So do understand it is my job to represent the Planning Commission and to defend their decision. I'm going to try and give you all the information that I can give you. I'm going to try to make it as clear why the Planning Commission did what they did. Doesn't mean that we're not going to end up in court a lot, but that's just the nature of the beast and everything. But I do want you to have all the facts, whether they help me or hurt me, but it is my job to defend their decision and to make sure that they follow procedure.
And we appreciate the job that you're doing on the staff, because, folks, these people are here at night, and even though they may get a Friday off, it still takes it a long day when you get through it.
Yep.
9:35.
Yep. If I could make a motion to adjourn, that is.
Anything else?
No, sir, I'm fine. Thank you.
Okay. Well, you have our sincere thanks.
I do want to give you these documents before you run off. Let me give you a copy of that. And they will. But you can go ahead and adjourn if you'd like.
All right. Second to adjourn.
Second.
Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
I say don't lose my number, but it's not like we're going to lose touch.
I was going to say.
Yes.
But I won't see it for January.